B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati, Thursday, October 3rd. Tony Maz alongside from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hi, Anthony.
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Big Jim Murray in our update studio. Gotten a lot of complaints, Maz, over the last couple weeks and months.
Oh, what?
Not talking any Bruins.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard those.
So people have been chirping us. People have been agitated that we're the home of the Bruins and a hockey show, really, at our heart. We've always given the sport a great amount of time and our energy and our efforts. And basically, since the opening of training camp, I don't think we've done a single segment.
Yeah, well, you scarred us.
That might be right.
Okay.
Save for like maybe McAvoy or something.
When you say, yeah, I mean, I never did. Maybe when I was off, someone did. But I don't think I have been a part of a Bruins talk segment since maybe the Cup. I'm trying to think.
No, there hasn't been one. There definitely hasn't.
And that's no accident. I've purposely stayed away. Purposely, because I think all it's been is a mention here or there, and I've mentioned that I can't look at you, like a wife that cheats on you, and you just can't you can't look at them. And I haven't been able to look at the Bruins for a while, but they open tonight. They open tonight, and we've promised you some preview talk. So here it is: the 2 o'clock hour will be devoted to the Bruins. So all you hockey Krishnas, you puckheads, you want to talk Bruins, and you've been waiting for us to do it. Now is the time. This hour. And maybe later on in the show, if you're so inclined. But that's up to you. 617-779-0985. I'll tell you how I want to open.
Good.
I have mentioned them. I have saved the Bruins talk for the off-air show, presented by Ace Ticket, our Facebook Live thing. So we've done a couple Bruins little hits there on the off-air show. And I was asked the other night by Ty Anderson, or maybe someone commenting in, you know, give us your power rankings, Felger. Where do the Bruins rank in the league? Where do you think they are? And so, you know, I started to rip off teams like I think the Bruins are somewhere between 7, 8, 9 like I thought they were last year. And, you know, I say, okay, Tampa's 1, Washington's 2, Vegas is 3, the Winnipeg Jets are 4. And Ty Anderson goes, the Winnipeg Jets? I say, yeah, the Winnipeg Jets. He said, you know they lost Myers and they lost Trouba and Dustin Byfuglien may not even know what he's doing? I'm like, nope, I didn't even know that. Ooh. Because, I mean, really, I like the Winnipeg Jets. Those big forwards, Scheifele and Laine and Hellebuck's a great goalie, and that D core is tremendous. Oh, they've lost half their D. Oh, I didn't know that. All right, so I'll take them off. How about the Penguins? Well, they lost Kessel. Well, San Jose's a hell of it. They lost Pavelski. So I start clicking through the teams. I'm like, all right. Tampa, for sure. Washington, for sure. Vegas, I think. Holy crap. Are the Bruins a top 3-5 team? Like, wait a minute. Are they a top 3-5 team? And so we just did that online. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to check this out. So then last night I spent some time Googling NHL power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Want to hear some?
Yeah.
NHL.com. NHL preseason power rankings. Number 1, Tampa. Number 2, St. Louis. Number 3, Toronto. Number 4, Bruins. Is it 4? Then I went to Yahoo Sports. Yahoo Sports power rankings. Number 1, Tampa. Number 2, Bruins. What?
2?
Number 3, Vegas. Number 4, San Jose. Number 5, Toronto. NBC. So then went, I'm like, this can't be. You can't tell me that they're a consensus top 5 team. Then I went to NBC Sports. You can do this yourself at home if you want to play along. NBC Sports Boston. Or I'm sorry, NBC Sports National. Power rankings. Number 1, Tampa. Number 2, St. Louis. Number 3, Bruins. I said, what? Then I went to Sports Illustrated. You can play along, folks. Google it as I'm doing it. I went to Sports Illustrated. NHL power rankings. Number 1, Tampa. Number 2, Bruins. Number 3, Toronto. 4, St. Louis. 5, Nashville. So what? I went to ESPN, TSN. Number 1, Tampa. Number 2, Bruins. I said, wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. Last year, the Bruins were somewhere between 6 and 12, in my mind. They were not a top 5 team. but they went to the Cup Finals because everyone in the top five lost.
Crapped out.
The whole playoff structure crapped out. From Tampa to the Penguins to Washington, Vegas, Winnipeg, any good team in the league. And that's the only reason you went to the Cup Finals. That's in my mind's eye. So I thought we'd come back this year and we reset where the Bruins are somewhere between 5 and 10, 6 and 12. No, they are a consensus top three, top four team in the NHL. Do you believe that?
Nope, I don't. And so again, look, you want to tell me that...
Can I just do one more?
Yeah,
so these are just media power rankings. I'm like, okay, we don't know what the hell we're talking about. We're just media. Let me go to Vegas. Because they know what they're doing. So I Google Vegas odds to win the Stanley Cup. Westgate, the big one. Tampa, odds on favorite, 6-1. Vegas next, 7-1. Toronto, third, 10-1. Bruins, fourth, 12-1. I go to Bovada. Tampa, plus 700. Toronto, plus 850. Vegas, plus 1,000. Number four, Boston, plus 1,100. So Vegas is telling me they're a top three, top four team in the league.
Do you believe it?
I don't feel it in my gut.
So look, again, I'll tell you that I don't care what the rest of the league looks like.
But when I started to look at the rosters, maybe. But my gut, I instinctively don't feel they're that kind of team.
Okay, so there's two things here. One, if you are telling me that the rest of the league is now feeling the reality of the salary cap, and there are, you know, because in that league, the cap is real. So that all of a sudden there are losses everywhere across the board, save for maybe Tampa. Fine. Like, I still look at the Bruins and I say, sorry. I mean, think of what it took to get by Toronto. And I'm not telling you they suck. Of course they don't suck. You know, they're still going to be what they've been under Cassidy. I don't doubt that. But last year was everything going the right way. I don't possibly see how this year could be better than last.
Here's what I'm telling you. The experts, from the national hockey writers to Canadians, who I consider just instinctively hockey experts, to Vegas, consider the Bruins an elite of an elite team in the league.
Did they not see how the Bruins' best players didn't perform in the postseason in the biggest moments? Like, what are they factoring in here? They're a top 10 team, for sure. But the elite? Top 5?
Top 10? I'm fine. Top 3?
No.
No way.
No.
That's what all these people have them at. They have them in the top 3.
Fluto's got them third in the division. Got them third in the division.
So now let's go forward. They can be third in the division and still be third in the entire league. There's some power rankings that have the exact same thing. That this is an issue, your division. But a lot of these power rankings go 1, 2, 3, and they're all in this division.
If we're just doing this by paper, like that's so... Tampa, Vegas, Toronto are better than them. If we're just doing it like on paper,
those three teams
are better than them.
Is Toronto?
Yes. Yeah, they are. Now, granted, they'll gag again in the playoffs because they exist to also choke in the playoffs. On paper, Toronto is a better team than the Boston Bruins.
I mean, they are at forward. No question about it. Their forward group is ridiculous. How's their D and how's their goaltending?
So the Bruins got them beat at goaltending. Although...
And defense.
I mean, in theory, they should have them beat it.
It was
closer last year than I wanted to admit.
Look, it's shocking. It was shocking for me to do this exercise and see how they are viewed. And they are viewed as an elite of an elite team this year when I don't feel in my gut that they're that kind of team. But then when I lay out the rosters, and I'm behind. I didn't realize the Jets had lost those players. I forgot about Kessel moving or this player moving or that. So I'm not, you know, I haven't stayed up on the player movement. But when I just started digging in a little bit, roster-wise, they are kind of there. I mean, I think Tampa's much better roster-wise. I think Washington's much better on their roster. But after Tampa... and the Capitals, I don't know what roster I look at and say they are much better than the Bruins. I think Tampa and Washington have better rosters, better makeup, better team, better goaltending, better. I don't know who else I can say. I don't say that about Vegas. I think Vegas has some really nice pieces, but they might be a top three team roster-wise. They might be.
Well, that's a sad statement on the league, then.
Okay, so, well.
I'm not kidding. It is. It's a sad statement on the league. I'm not telling you the Bruins suck. You want to tell me the Bruins are a top 10 team in the league? Fine, I'll give you that. I'm not going to sit here and they're not average. They're better than average. That puts you in the top 10. Top three? If the Bruins are one of the top three teams in the league, I mean, come on.
Okay, so Vegas has them as the fourth team.
I'm serious.
No, I know. It's because I'm with you. I think these rankings are insane.
When I say Vegas, the bookmakers have them fourth. They don't fall below fourth in pretty much any Stanley Cup projection. And all these power rankings, third, second, 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 third, second, fourth in a couple of them. But they're all right there.
I think too many people, though, are getting caught up. And look, Vegas is different. But I think too many people are getting caught up by the fact that they were in the final last year and they went to seven games with the eventual cup champ. So, you know, the people look at it and say, oh, they were in the same way we do with the Rams in the Super Bowl. And I don't think the Rams are that good. So, like, I feel like the Bruins are just getting some hype there. And I'll admit that I am also worried about some of the lingering issues with the Bruins. So that is on my mind.
They have to be.
So, not the least, and I'm talking physical as well as psychological.
Well, so here's the question. I think it's the biggest one. The impact of that run last year and how it ended. That has to be the first thing on your list. How do they recover emotionally and physically from that run? Huge. Because, you know, the numbers, the history is brutal. I think the last team, and I'll give it to you exactly, but I believe the last team to lose a game seven in the Stanley Cup and go back the next year and win it was like Montreal in the 50s. Detroit did it in like 08, 09, but I think they came back and lost the next. I mean, they came back and went back-to-back years, and game seven was in year one. I can't remember if they won the next year or lost the next year, but it's something like the last seven teams to lose a game seven in the Stanley Cup, haven't even gotten past the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by that at all. Again, I told you, I think I said a couple of minutes ago, and I'm not going to get this right because every time I say something, I change the words for crying out loud. But I can't see any way they get back there.
So again,
I can't see how that happens.
Just keep it more recent.
Hold on, this is the stat. Losers of Game 7 in the Cup Final. There have been nine since 1971. All nine have failed to move past the second round of the playoffs the next year.
I'm not shocked by that.
So that is so does that weigh the Bruins down emotionally, physically? Because again,
Bergeron,
look at Chara, look at Krejci, like they're old. And that the physical toll leaves a mark. But what about the emotional thing? So that can go two ways. So the emotional thing can say, well, look, we tried to climb the mountain last year, we got nearly to the top, now we're at the bottom, I just can't climb the mountain again. And that weighs them down. The only shot the Bruins have, I think, is if somehow it's motivation. We left one on the table last year. That loss is not going to get us to quit. That's the carrot in front of us all season long. And Bergeron, Char, those guys, we're not going to have another one. This is our last crack. And we left it on the table last year, and we're not going to do it this year. And it motivates them. Usually it doesn't work that way. Usually it goes in the opposite direction.
I'd be willing to believe that if they were, you know, 100% going into the season, I don't feel like they're there, and I don't see how it gets better from here. Again, Krejci's already nicked up. Bergeron's got a groin thing. And, you know, like, I look at it and say, oh, boy.
Okay, so, Murray, hold your thoughts.
Sure.
It's a Bruins hour. We'll get to you. Do you feel they're an elite, elite team? Because everyone else seems to. And I'm having a hard time coming around to that's what they are. So is that a me problem? But I will say this just in closing before we go to the break, and that is I've been down on the Bruins all summer. I haven't talked about them. They're dead to me, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm happy there's a game tonight. I'm excited to put on the game and watch the Bruins because you know why? I'm a hockey Krishna and a Bruins dork, a fanboy, and I like having hockey, and I like watching hockey. And I like having it on the TV at night because I don't go home and watch shows or really do anything of any sort of life. I just put sports on, and I'm glad the Bruins are on, and I'm excited to have the game on. I am. So that's just an admission. And you can listen to it on 98.5 The Sports Hub tonight as well.
You're hopeless.
I am. I'm hopeless when it comes to that. So that's just being an honest admission to your thoughts right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Loved by Binnington. He puts it down and the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins roar in front of the St. Louis Blues with four goals in the third period. Rask was terrific. The penalty killer's magnificent. And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 on Wednesday that'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
And we're just going to leave it there. Pretend the next night didn't happen. Because it left a mark. I know it left a mark.
Good place to get out.
So just get out right there. They go into St. Louis, win Game 6 to force a Game 7 at home for the Stanley Cup. Okay? And that's where they were. So pick up from there. And can they pick up from last year? Usually teams that go that far and then lose the way they did in Game 7 don't come back the next year. Yet everyone's got them in the top five. A lot of people got them in the top three in the league.
I mean, look, I'm just trying to be honest with you. Okay, I hope that they come back guns a-blazing and they're a wagon. I mean, how could you not? I just don't feel it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope to God I am wrong. And I do think there is a... I think there's a way they could surprise us.
How?
I'll save that.
How? Go ahead.
You want it now?
Sure.
McAvoy, Carlo, Anders Bjork, Jake DeBrusque. Like, Bjork's getting a lot of love here this preseason. I know he's down in Providence. But the point being is that these guys all take a jump that no one sees coming. So, like, all of a sudden, if McAvoy overnight turns into, you know, one of the three best defensemen in the league, well, then, okay, you know, maybe, I don't feel like the rest of it is, I don't feel like they're quite there yet.
Well,
that's all.
Another young guy that needs to learn a lesson from how he played in the playoffs is Pastrnak. Like, can he learn from this, or is he going to, you know, continue to be what he's been? Because he was excellent in the regular season, but the postseason, nothing. And it's just, I don't know, the numbers recently. So you talk about how, you know, the last team to lose a Game 7 and get back, you got to go back to, you know, a Canadiens team from a million years ago. But in the past 20 years, only four teams have gone back-to-back in the Stanley Cup Finals. And two of them were those loaded Penguins teams. It just doesn't really happen. So they're good. You know, they're one of the better teams, top 10. But again, top 3, top 5. You know, the NHL 20 game, EA Sports saying that they're going to be the Stanley Cup champion. I mean, they've been pretty good at predicting who goes back to this thing and who actually wins it. They had the Blues there when nobody saw that coming last year. But I don't know. I don't see it. They'll be good. They'll be competitive. I just don't see them getting back there.
Okay, so again, this is what an emailer sent me. No team's been back to the conference finals the year after a Game 7 finals loss since the mid-70s. No team has come back to win the Cup following a Game 7 loss in the Cup finals since the 56 Canadiens. So I don't know if the guy's right or not. Maddie, write that in.
Holy crap.
So there's a lot of history working against the Bruins. Your thoughts. And this is an interesting thing, too. A lot of these power rankings. The Bruins are ranked ahead of the Blues. Cliff in New Hampshire. Should they be?
The Blues should not be ahead of the Bruins. Where were the Blues last year at Christmas?
They're out of the playoffs and firing their coach.
Why does that matter?
Because I don't see them getting back to where they were at before. They got ridiculously lucky, just as lucky as the Bruins did, off some bad officiating. I just don't see them getting back to the finals. I don't see the Blues being ranked above the Bruins, but I also don't think the Bruins should be in the top three. I watched that preseason game against the Blackhawks, and Chara looked like a parking cone.
Okay, he looks like a parking cone from time to time, and they still went to the finals. I went based off a preseason game. Char's mobility is, you know, if he's any more than your third defenseman, you're in trouble.
Yep.
So I think he's a second pairing guy now at this point, and if you need him for more than that, then McAvoy or Carlo or Kruger, these guys aren't doing their job. I like their decor, actually.
Yeah, so do I. But I'm talking about becoming like the elite of the elite. Mike, the whole hierarchy of the team for me has to change for them to become a cup team again. It's going to become more McAvoy's team and Carlo's team. Like, those young guys have to assume those big roles now.
I don't think there's any question about it.
I mean, to me, I feel like that process takes longer than this.
I like their decor as long as McAvoy and Carlo continue to trend up. And that Char is your fourth defenseman and not your first defenseman. I think I gotta have Krug, McAvoy, and Carlo all be demonstrably better than Zdeno Chara. And if they are, I like their decor. I do. And I think they even have depth there. Like, I'm fine with what's going on there. What was I just gonna say? Oh, St. Louis. The fact that St. Louis in most of these power rankings are ranked below you should hurt. Should hurt even more. You shouldn't have lost to that team. You shouldn't have lost to that team. You're better than them.
See, but I think when the caller says, well, where were they at Christmas? What does that got to do with anything?
Nothing.
They were picked as a good team. They underachieved in the first half. Now, look, they probably overachieved in the second. But can we all agree that we underestimated the Blues a little too?
Definitely.
They're better than we thought they were.
Are they better than the Bruins?
Last year?
No. Are they? Look at their roster and look at your roster. Who's better?
Well, their decor is pretty effing good.
And their goalie's better.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, their decor.
That was proven. And
hold on. We watched him play. Was he even the better goalie in that series?
He was when it mattered.
He was in game seven. I agree.
He was at the end. Games five and seven, he was.
Connor in Lexington. Go ahead, Connor.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good, Connor. What do you got?
So, you know, talking about goaltending, we know Tuukka is a top goaltender in the NHL, but we also know how streaky he can be. You know, when he's hot, he's incredibly hot. When he's cold, he's very cold. You know, knowing Tuukka can tend to start, based on what I've seen, knowing Tuukka can tend to start seasons off cold and how integral Halak was last season, how should Bruce Cassidy utilize Halak this season?
50-50. And if Halak's playing better, give him the job, just like he did last year. There was a time when Halak was your number one goalie. And if he deserves it, that's the way you play it. And I think Cassidy will do that at a moment's notice. He has no problem doing that. And thank God they have a coach that approaches it like that. But it should be another thing on your list. Rask capable of another run like that? Because he got really hot in the playoffs. He was terrific until, unfortunately, game seven. But he was really terrific. Can he do that again?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Or something close to it.
All right,
yeah.
Cross it off my
list. But again, and it might not have to look, you know, I think he's good. I mean, and the hot thing had something to do with the fact that he didn't get the same wear and tear he got in other years. I think we can all agree on that, too. Now, again, game seven, I would have preferred a different outcome. I'm sort of with Murray on this one. But he was dynamite for the majority of it.
Frank, your thoughts quickly.
Well, look, you know, the Brady Bunch can decide all they want who owns the team and who's running things. But Sam and Alice in the back room did nothing for the meat market, as far as I'm concerned, this past off season, and poor Tiger Cassidy is going to have to keep the family together through the season and through the dog days of the winter. There's one thing that you're missing, Maz, that hopefully you guys will get into as the season goes. The thing that can also help, besides all the young guys doing what they should do, which is grow, because it is time to grow. It's time to put your big pants on. Trades. What are you going to do at the deadline or during the season to help these guys maybe, possibly, get back and make a playoff run? Because I think this year is going to be a tough one. So get all the drugs you can, people.
Okay, Frank. So I think he was talking early on about Sweeney doing nothing to improve the team. I think Sweeney did a good job keeping the team together as it was. I mean, those contracts for Carlo and McAvoy were terrific, terrific team deals, I think. And I thought they were going to have to ditch someone off the roster to fit everybody on there. So I thought you were going to lose a player you wanted. And Sweeney was, you know, so I actually think they did well to keep it together.
Right. The bridge deals allowed you to keep the player that you thought they were going to move.
But people are complaining that you did nothing to sort of change the mix.
So look, to me, that's a critical thing. You always got to shake it up a little. Of course, they also have some young guys that still have a lot of room to grow. So, you know, in theory, you could say that's going to come from the inside. And, you know, some guys fade, Chara, Bergeron, those guys get a little older. The young guys move up. Like, that's the whole transition you're talking about.
But your point, Maz, Bjork, Steen, Trent Frederick, Senishin.
Somebody.
I don't care who it is. Someone has to.
Somebody's got to come out.
Someone's got to come out from that group.
Yes. That's got to happen. Someone's got to pop there. And again, even like, you know, whether it sounds like it's still early for Studnicka, right? But whoever. Somebody's got to come out of the woodwork there.
Here's an update. We're starting with Bruins. We'll get to all the Patriots and the kicker stuff, but we promised you Bruins preview. They open tonight, so here it is. Right back to you after Murray's.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The part that's hard is
during the summer, you know, people come up to you and I love to talk hockey, and it's, you know, and then there'll be that person that just kind of gets you on the wrong day. Like, what about game seven? It's like, Jesus, we got to go through this again. Huh? So, but you know, all in all, I think that the best medicine is getting back to work with the guys. They've, you know, that they're back. Everyone's back. We're relatively healthy. We've got a couple guys that are still injured, but those are from last year. So we got through training camp for the most part. Kretch is a little banged up, but he's going to be good to go, I think, Thursday. So I think just being back together and working again is the best medicine to sort of move on.
Bruce Cassidy, I'm with TNR the other morning. Catch the full interview on our app, the Sports Hub app, 985thesportshub.com. It's the biggest issue on the team. All summer long, every day. What happened in Game 7, man? Dealing with that and going to bed with that and waking up with that. Never mind the physical toll of being Chara's age, Bergeron's age with the bad hip or groin or whatever. Krejci at his age, that grind of that thing and now having to do it again.
See, and they do go hand in hand, because as he was saying that, and you just mentioned the physical part of it, it's like you put in all that effort, all that work. You make all those sacrifices physically and otherwise. Like you pound your body to no end. And then you lose. And then you lose. And it's like, so I think it's only natural to come back and go, am I going to put myself through that again?
Huge obstacle. Huge.
Really, unlike any other sport. Again.
Yes, definitely.
Just because of the length of it.
Well, it happens in football, but it's similar because there's a physical slash mental toll. It's hand in hand.
I know. And again, I'm just giving you my opinion. I think the hockey one's worse. It's more games. It's longer. It is a freaking grind.
Okay, and so if there is a silver lining to this, Cassidy raised it too. It was an interesting point, Jimmy. Give me that second Cassidy cut.
Our veteran core guys have come off a Stanley Cup championship and a loss to Chicago. So they have a little bit of experience with this. So I've talked to them about that. They know how to set up their off-ice training in the summer. It's a little bit different for the younger guys that haven't been through it. So we'll see how we manage them. And until we start playing again, we don't know if we've done it right or wrong. I don't think it's going to have an effect early. I think everyone's going to be excited to play. We do have a room full of, you know, hockey players, guys that love to play the game. So I think it's more maybe when the season drags a little that we're going to have to keep an eye on guys' motivation. Hopefully, you know, that's where some younger guys can push, you know, through and help us, you know, our depth. And but we'll see. Until those days come, I don't have a great answer for you right now.
So it's really that first part. This ain't the first time they've choked in the Stanley Cup Finals. And I say that intentionally because they deserve it. The last time they lost in the Stanley Cup Finals, they won the President's Trophy the next year. So they had a really good regular season in 13-14. And then they choked in the second round. But for that older core, this ain't their first rodeo. That should help.
It should, yeah. I mean, I believe in the leadership on the team. I should give them, you know, that's something we should probably mention. Like, I believe in the character of the leadership.
How about the goalie?
Put him to the side. Finish your point.
Yeah, so look, I mean, Bergeron's going to do everything he can physically possible and mentally possible to compete. He is. And I feel the same way about Chara. Now, I don't know how much is left, and I worry about Bergeron's groin, but I don't look at Bergeron as being, like, mentally weak, or Chara as mentally weak, like they can't handle it. And those are the linchpin guys, right?
Murray, you keep going back to Rask. Why?
Oh, never again. I'm not slipping on that banana peel. Never, ever, 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 ever again. He can play lights out like he did during the playoff run again this year, and then get to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. I will fully expect him to lose that game. I will bet on the other team. I will never, ever take the cheese on that guy ever again in a game like that.
Was it 2 goals on 4 shots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, but again, I still have greater disdain for Marchand skating off the ice than I do for Rask.
Oh, yeah. No, sure. I'm with you 100%. Like, they're all to blame there. That was a terrible no-show collectively. But Rask was not good in that game. He was not.
So if we want to just keep scratching some itches, I mean, and spin it forward to this year, the first line to me is something to consider. Can we please split that up? I mean, I don't want to hear about the erection line and these guys' regular season numbers and all of that. They got their ass handed to them when it mattered. You lost the Stanley Cup not because of Rask, but because the Bergeron line failed. That's why. All of them. To a man.
The first line got outplayed.
Marchand -2 in the finals. Pastrnak -7 in the finals. Bergeron was a minus in the finals. Was it minus four? I thought I had it. I don't. They were minus in the finals. They Pasternak, were minus.
Minus seven?
Minus seven in the finals. The only thing those guys did was on the power play. Even strength, they got their ass handed to them. Which again, this is one thing that's bugging me. How Patrice Bergeron still gets called the best two-way center in the league. That's over. Would you stop with this? I read Joe Mack on The Athletic talking about, you know, concerns for the year, and one was the first line and the health. He says, we know Bergeron is dealing with lingering groin injury, and the team is keeping a close eye on his continued rehab and strengthening program. If the league's top two-way center misses time, it won't bode well. Stop. He's not. He got Ryan O'Reilly outplayed your guy in the final. So Ryan O'Reilly now gets to be called the best two-way center in the league. You don't get to lose. I hate this. It's like a core thing of mine. You can't get outplayed and lose and then still hell have the belt. That's not the way it works. Stop overrating Bergeron. He got outplayed by another guy, and that's the reason you lost the Stanley Cup. He and his line. That's why you lost the cup. Stop with this. That's just a little aggravation that I have. He's not. Ryan O'Reilly's better. Sorry. Fact, not opinion. I saw it with my own eyes. So did you. Don't deny what you saw. Don't deny what your eyes showed you. He got outplayed by a better player. God, that's just a... No, sorry. Okay. Here's another thing. Their division and their schedule. They have the hardest division in hockey by far.
Division's brutal.
Now, what's weird is that the bottom of it is caca. Like, Ottawa is still... Like, they might be the worst team in the league. Detroit is still way down. I don't know about Montreal yet. I always take Montreal seriously, so I'm not going to put them on that list. But, you know, Florida is always, you know, I know they improved and they signed Bobrovsky and whatnot, but...
Mediocre path.
Florida's always on the verge of being a non-factor. So you have those teams to sort of clean up on. But, you're going to see a lot of Tampa and a lot of Toronto. And you, again, go to the experts. They're all top three, top four like you. And that schedule before U.S. Thanksgiving, Carla pointed this out, it's so true. Dallas tonight, Dallas is a lot of people's dark horse favorite to come out of the West, that they're ready to do it.
I mean, they took St. Louis to seven.
So Dallas is on the come. Vegas, so you open up at Dallas, at Arizona, at Vegas, at Colorado.
Colorado's a good team, too.
Dallas, Vegas, and Colorado could all come out of the West this year. Colorado is a really good young team, and they just drafted this defenseman who's supposed to be like a freaking Norris consideration as a rookie. Was Cali Maker, what's his name? They drafted a defenseman up high that's supposed to be the balls. Never mind, they have the best line in hockey with that first line. But three of the first four, Dallas on the road, Dallas, Vegas, Colorado. Then you come home, Jersey, Anaheim, fine. Then it's Thursday the 17th, Tampa. Saturday the 19th, Toronto. Tuesday the 22nd, Toronto. Saturday the 26th, St. Louis. Then you're at the Rangers, fine. Then it's San Jose is in here at the end of October. Then you get Ottawa on the 2nd, Pittsburgh on the 4th, Montreal on the 5th. Their schedule is a killer. The weekend of the 15th and 16th November, Toronto, Washington. They play Montreal again the last week in November before Thanksgiving. They have a killer pre-Thanksgiving schedule and a killer top of the division. That leaves a mark. What if between the travel and the competition and the division, they get off to a slow start and they're behind at U.S. Thanksgiving and now they're beat up and they're old and they just lost on Game 7 last year? Is it possible that this is a team that just says, you know, we'll see you next year?
Sure, yeah. You run the risk of getting buried. You run the risk of getting buried, sure. Yeah, it's possible.
Okay, so there's a couple more Bruins thoughts. This is where we're starting today. Long commercial-free segment with your Bruins expectations. Everyone else has them in the top three. You really feel they're that kind of team? Back to you after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Austin's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's Johansson. They'll flip it out to center ice, glove by Heinen. One on two. Carries it over the line. Near circle, Johansson fires, deflected. they score!
So Charlie Coyle with the overtime winner in Game 1 of the Columbus Series, remember? He's trying to play us some highlights. Charlie Coyle, you mentioned a young guy emerging, Maz?
Another good one.
You know, Coyle does it. He'll take that, too. So there are two guys that I look at to have monster years, and they need them. Coyle and Krug, both playing for money. They're both due big payday, especially Krug. If Krug stays on his offensive pace, he's going to get paid. He's going to get his ass paid. And Charlie Coyle's up for a big contract. If he plays the way he did, he was their best player in the postseason, I thought.
16 points in 24 games.
I think he was the most consistent guy. He and Johansson.
+8.
So, and I think Cassidy's big mistake was not playing him more and the Bergeron line less. He went on reputation, as a lot of you are doing with Bergeron. But anyway, that's, again, I don't mean to keep scratching that itch, but Coyle was supposed to be the best player on the team in the preseason. And up for a contract, and Krug's up to make a huge boatload of money. So, I'm fine with those two guys want to carry the team.
No, Krug's another good one. To me, it's going to have to come from places where we don't see it coming. And when I say don't see it coming, you know, the hierarchy of the team's got to change. It can't be Bergeron and Marchand leading the way again, or they're not going to be good enough. It's got to be more than that.
Okay, Bruins preview with you guys. Back to you, Cam and Taunton. Hi, Cam.
Mike, don't get me wrong. As much as I was chirping you to talk Bruins, I am in as much pain as you, and I'm not over it either. But that's why I want you to talk it. I want to move forward. So I have a very simple message to the Bruins core of this team, the big five players, you know who they are. You best damn win the cup this year. Otherwise, that's your legacy. You are the legacy of every other great Bruins team, underachievers. And you were on your home ice in Game 7, and that's what you did. They should have a fire up their ass this year. But do you think Tampa's going to have a bigger one given what they did?
Yes. It's such a... And Maz made this point off the air. I said the only chance the Bruins have this year is if that loss motivates them. And they say, we left one on the table and that's not going to happen again. Bergeron, Chara, these guys say, this is not how I'm going to be remembered. They're on the verge of being remembered as... Losers is too strong, but... You know, closer to the Sharks than to a perennial champ, you know, it's just...
I mean, I'd say good, not great.
You know, good, not great, and coming up, it's just a tough... that you'd hate for that to be the lingering memory of you, is that Game 7 loss. So does that motivate them? It better, but who's motivated more? The Bruins who lost in Game 7 of the finals, or Tampa who got their ass swept, and they were clearly the best team in the league?
Tampa. I mean, and again, you get a lot of veteran guys there, too. Like, that one feel like I could see Tampa responding the way the Bruins did in 2011. I could see that one and say, well, you know, that there's an indignity there. Like, that was humiliating. Losing in Game 7 of the Cup is a lot of things. I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but not as humiliating as what happened to Tampa. Like, they lived with that all summer, all of, oh, God. There wasn't a team that underachieved more than them. So that team, if that team doesn't show up with a fire up its ass, forget it.
Johnny in Texas, hi.
Hey, guys, what's going on? So I'm driving to Dallas. I'm going to the game tonight. I reluctantly am going to the game because I'm still as hurt as anybody. I fully intend to boo them loudly during the game. Then maybe a couple beers in, I might, you know, find it in my heart to cheer. But one person I am going to boo every time he touches the puck is Brad Marchand, because I'm going to boo him like he's the Dano Chara in the Bell Center, because I know NHL.com or whatever, NHL Network, just ranked their top players. They have him at the number 7 player, and I don't know, I don't think the number 700th player gets off the ice in a Stanley Cup game when you're closing the defensive zone the puck. I'm still pissed off at that. But the reason I wanted to call was to talk about Torey Krug, because I think that Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, and management there, they're in a rough, weird position in the sense of, I think the smart thing to do is showcase Krug, staple him with Backes, and then you get a couple picks, or you get off from that contract, and you allow McAvoy to slide up to be the quarterback on that first power play. That'd be the smart thing to do. Now, if you're trying to sell to your veteran players, the Chars, the Bergerons, the Krejcis of the world, that you want to make one more run at it, I don't know how they're going to respond, hearing the number one offensive defenseman is going to be taken off.
So let me stop you. You're right. Krug's a tough one. If he puts up the points, he's going to be a top. And just because he times out to be an unrestricted free agent, he's going to time out. He's going to be a top 5 top 10 paid defenseman in the league. That's what he's going to get.
I know, it's crazy.
And he's not, I still don't think he's that player.
No, I don't either. Although I will say last year in the postseason, he really impressed me. I mean, he was playing both ends. He played his ass off. He competed his ass off. But that makes me all the more worried going into this year because there's just one thing he's never going to be able to overcome, and that's the size. I shouldn't say I can't overcome it. The criticism for it or the scrutiny, the doubt, because people like me are always going to look at him and say, okay, fine, he held up one offseason. Can he do it 2 or 3 more?
Erik Karlsson, 8 years, $92 million. Is that right?
That's insane.
8 years, $92
million. That's 11 and a half.
Okay, so, you know, Carlson's a Norris guy. Krug has never been a Norris candidate. I don't see him being that. I don't think he's... But the points, his points, he can make a case with his points to be, if not that, the next rung down, which is in that $8 million a year range. I wonder if someone's going to give it to him.
It's a lot of dough.
If I'm the Bruins, I can't give it to him because ultimately that money's going to be McAvoy's. In 3 years or whatever that, you know, whatever he signed for there. So that's sort of a tough one. And is there value there in, you know, moving on from Krug or getting something in return for Krug? I think that's, they're in a tough spot with Krug. And I'll say this, like my confidence in them not screwing it up though is been restored. Shirelli blew so many of his own contracts and mismanaged and overpaid so many of his own guys. And Sweeney has really cleaned that up. I mean, Sweeney has done excellent with his own players. He signed some crap. The Backus contract kills him. Bolesky killed, you know. But his own guys, these Carlo and McAvoy contracts are terrific team deals. The Pastrnak deal was a good team deal. The Marchand deal is a good team deal, etc. He's done well with his own guys. So I think he's willing to hold the line and not sign a bad deal. So I think, you know, it sounds weird, corny, but... You're kind of in good hands with Sweeney on his own guys. He hasn't overshot on his own guys. Tony and Lynn. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, I'm a huge Bruins fan. I watch every game, but I feel kind of like, why? You know, after blowing it last year, which they did. 3 out of 4 at home, 3 out of 4 last games. But this year on the power rankings, I think the Bruins, what they do, it's kind of a good thing, but it may be what's killing them, is they play harder during the regular season than I think a lot of teams. And so you're out there and you see them playing during the season and they look so good, but then by the time the end comes rolling around, what happens?
Like, yeah, talent that reaches its level, Tony. I'll just cut you off. That's what happens. And you can't outwork teams because everyone's working hard. That's been the story of the Bruins my entire life. From the Don Cherry lunch pail AC to you just go down the line. They've always been a hardworking blue-collar team. And in the regular season, that's great because they'll outwork you more nights than not. Then you get to the playoffs and everyone works hard, and then what happens? So I think that's the Bruins organization.
I mean, look, in the 80s, they were perpetually one or two players short.
That's just what it is. So, I mean, what, do I want them to not work hard in the regular season and pace themselves for the postseason? I suppose, but when I'm going to get on them for working too hard? Like, that's just sort of a tough one. I'd like to see the older guys take it easy, no problem. And all the kids and, you know, contract guys can bust their ass, show, you know, prove themselves, and you can sort of be a mix. But the call of reference to power rankings, it's blown me away to see how the Bruins are viewed going into the year. NHL.com power rankings, 1 Tampa, 2 St. Louis, 3 Toronto, 4 Bruins. Yahoo Sports, 1 Tampa, 2 Bruins. NBC Sports, National, number 1 Tampa, number 2 St. Louis, number 3 Boston. Sports Illustrated, number 1 Tampa, number 2 Boston. ESPN, TSN, number 1 Tampa, number 2 Boston. Does that feel a little high? I mean,
yes.
I'll just go back to where I started. Doesn't that feel a little high?
Yes, too high. Too high. Now, again, if you're telling me that the rest of the league has come down and the Bruins just stayed in the same place.
So that feels like that's happened a little bit. You know, I don't know who to look out for. Washington, I think, is better. So I don't know why Washington is ranked low in these rankings. They got the team that won the cup the year before and they had a cup hangover and isn't it sort of obvious? But, you know, certainly there's young teams that are coming up that I just am not aware of. I don't know their rosters well, like New Jersey. Jersey just drafted this Hughes kid, number 1 overall. They have Tyler Hall, who won the MVP, right? I think they just got Subban.
They did get Subban.
So, like, Jersey. So there's a team that's going to come out of the woodwork. How long can we continue to take a pee on Toronto? Like, eventually, one of these times, are they going to win that game? Something?
Yeah, see, I think Toronto's legit. I think there's a danger with Toronto. I thought Toronto was legit last year. Look, I mean, Mike, it went 7 both times. It's not like you're blowing doors. And so I look at it and say, sooner or later with Toronto, that's got to happen.
Pittsburgh still has Crosby, Malkin. They don't have Kessel anymore. What's their goaltending? But I've said that before when they've won the Stanley Cup. I don't know. Is it stupid to overlook Crosby, Malkin, and the Penguins?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. But I don't know. I think the league may have flattened out a little bit.
Yeah, and Toronto, too. So they, I forget, because I haven't really kept looking at all the moves that went on throughout the league up until like right now. But they're trying to do things on defense. They got Tyson Barrie from Colorado. They shipped Kadri out, so they get that a-hole out of there. So maybe they're trying to do something, maybe they're trying to smarten up.
Well, until they improve D and net, I don't know. Bruins, Leafs, 7 games starting tonight. Who you got?
Oh, the Bruins.
Well, I'll tell you this. I like having that home game. Home ice does not matter in hockey unless it's Bruins-Leafs. And then the Leafs crap themselves. So I think the home road thing has mattered against the Leafs.
The only team that might choke more in that league than the Bruins is them.
It's true.
It might be true.
Fred, Rhode Island, Bergeron, still the best. No, he's not. He just got beat by a better player. Go by the results on the ice. Scott and Southie, Bergeron, still the best two-way player. You people are pathetic. He just lost and got his ass handed to him by the guy who won the Selke. And you're still going to play this game? O'Reilly won the Selke, not you. O'Reilly won the Cup, not you. O'Reilly won the Conn Smythe, not Bergeron. Those are the facts of what happened. But Bergeron's still better. Oh, I hate Bruins fanboys the most. Because I expect more from you. I expect it from the Green Teamers. That's the Green Teamer experience. And don't get me started on Patriots fans. Lost causes. I still have this delusion, that Bruins fans are a little tougher than that and have a little more hair on their balls, if you know what I mean. And when one of your guys gets outplayed and loses, you can say it. Can you? God.
Nah, I don't know. The Patriot fans still irritates me the most.
No, they do, but they're lost causes. Bruins fans, did you just watch who has the trophies? The Selke, the Conn Smythe, and something called the Stanley Cup. It ain't your guy who got his ass handed to it. Did you watch the series? Oh, but Bergeron was hurt. Ryan O'Reilly played with a sports hernia or a groin thing all playoffs long.
You have two broken ribs or something?
Or something, yeah. Sorry, maybe it was broken ribs. Something. He was hurt too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.